Grace and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, the whirlwind came, and Elijah was gone. You wonder, how long did it take? Did the chariots and the horsemen of Israel come and go in an instant, or did it take a while? We're not told. But this we know. When it was over, Elisha was left alone. The wind was still. The fiery chariots, a horseman, Elijah, had been taken up. And Elisha was alone. And if he's anything like you or me, he was probably a bit sad of heart. Questions racing through his mind. Things would never be the same. What do I do now? He tore his clothes, which is a sign of anguish and grief in that culture. It's all he knew to do. Fast forward. Was it happening again? We see Peter and James and John travel up a mountain with Jesus, just as Elijah and Elisha had done of old, and suddenly things totally change. Jesus is transfigured before them. His appearance totally changed. His clothes become radiant, intensely white, unearthly bright. And then there were no firing chariots or horsemen from heaven. Instead, there was that brilliant glory, and suddenly appears Elijah and Moses. And they're talking with Jesus. Now, Mark, in his gospel, doesn't tell us what they were talking about. But Luke, in his 9th chapter, tells us they were talking to Jesus about his exodus, is exactly the word used. In other words, Jesus' departure. So, was Jesus going to be taken up like Elijah? And was Elisha's anguish now going to belong to Peter, James, and John? Maybe that's why Peter is so terrified. Maybe it's not so much the glory, but the thought of being left alone. So Peter's thought was a little more time, Jesus. That's all Peter wants, just a little more time. I mean, parents know what that's like when children move away or they go off to college. If it just had a little more time. Spouses know that when they're parted from their loved one. And we've all probably had that sensation at one time or another, just a little more time. If I only had a little more time. So Peter tries that out, saying, Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's make 3 tents. You know, nothing permanent, just tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And just stay here a little more time, basking in this glory. Don't leave us yet, Jesus. But it must have all seemed for nothing as that bright cloud descends on them. And the voice comes booming forth. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Peter's thought, yes, we listened. And he's now leaving. And yes, you want him back. I understand. Maybe Peter was even ready to tear his clothes too, like Elisha. And then it was all over, instantly. How long had Moses and Elijah been there with Jesus? We're not told again. But this we know, when it was over, Peter, James, and John were not alone. The brightness had disappeared. Moses and Elijah were gone, but Jesus was still there with them. And he looked rather normal as before. As they retraced their steps down the mountain, Jesus charges them not to tell anyone what they've seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. So yes, Peter, Jesus is going to depart and ascend into heaven. That day is coming, yes, Peter, but not before he's risen from the dead, which means not before he dies, not before he's crucified, not before he's been arrested, falsely accused, wrongly convicted, not before you've denied him several times, Peter, and not before he's betrayed by one of his closest disciples. Which means, yeah, Peter, there will be a little more time for you to see, for you to listen, for you to learn. You see, Jesus is ready for his departure, but Peter is not ready for the cross yet. In fact, it was just about a week prior to the transfiguration when Peter, you remember, rebukes Jesus for all his talk about being rejected in Jerusalem and killed by the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders. Peter wasn't ready for the cross. And it wouldn't be long until James and John would be asking for the seats of honor, one on the right and one on the left of Jesus. They weren't ready for the cross either. And don't be too hard on them, though, because we're really no better. We don't get it either. And if you want evidence of that, recall the words from Paul in the epistle for the day. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, as I was reading that, what were you thinking? What's that glory he's talking about? The glory of heaven? The glory of the transfiguration? The glory of the admiration of all? Why didn't you think of the glory of the cross? Because that's not glorious, right? I mean, that's bloody and gory and tragic, right? So you see, we all need a little more time to see and to listen and to learn, because the cross, especially the cross, is the glory of the Lord. His glory here for you and me. His glory in his mercy and his love toward us. And the transformation that's taking place in us, of which Paul speaks by the Spirit, is from being sinful, selfish, glory seekers to forgiven, self-sacrificing believers who share his love and his mercy. The transformation from denying the cross to carrying our cross, from wanting to be served to laying down our lives in the service of others. And while the world thinks exactly the opposite, Jesus would have us know there's no greater glory in this world than that. That's really the departure that Jesus, Elijah, and Moses were talking about on the mountain, his exodus, when he would lay down his life for them and for you and for me, his exodus through his death into the tomb and rising again. His exodus that the law and the prophets and the whole Old Testament promised, prophesied, and foreshadowed. It was all about him, and now it was all being fulfilled. All of it. Not one prophecy, not one law left unfulfilled and undone. For the Son of Man, the glorious Son of God in human flesh, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, to redeem, to purchase the whole world of lost sinners, including you and me, from sin and death, with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, to be our Exodus Passover lamb, if you will, so that by his blood, death would pass us over, that we would pass through death to life again with him. And his blood not only does that for us, gives us that assurance that when death comes, we needn't fear because Jesus has gone before us, but also his blood transforms us here and now as well. His blood poured out on us in our baptism, his blood poured into us in the sacrament of the altar along with his body in the Holy Supper, transforming us all the time How could it not? So that the forgiveness that we receive would become the forgiveness that we give. And the mercy we receive, the mercy we share. The life we receive, the life we now give for others in sacrificial service, serving others as we've been served, living in the image of Christ and showing His glory. When Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, His glory was revealed, certainly. But bear in mind, it was only revealed to Peter, James, and John, three people. And when Jesus ascended the cross on Mount Calvary, His glorious mercy and His love was revealed to the whole world for all to see the kind of God that we have, a God who serves, who loves you so much that He would send His beloved Son to die for you. That's the God that Peter, James, and John would later proclaim. But not until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Only then would they understand the glory of God was the glory of the cross and the empty tomb. As we heard Paul say today, what we proclaim and preach is not ourselves, as if we're anything at all, Paul would say. We're only messengers. But we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, as the one true God who created all things, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, who rescued His people from slavery under the Egyptians, who took Elijah up in that whirlwind of fire to heaven, and who now, in these last days, died a glorious death on the cross to provide a ransom that no one else on earth could pay to rescue us now and forever. Yes, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, Paul says, for Jesus' sake. Once the light of Jesus' love and forgiveness shines on you, it transforms you, Paul says, into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, from the glory of the cross to the glory of eternal life. So, as the Epiphany season draws to an end, now we're ready to enter the season of Lent, and we'll see His glory still. We'll again journey with Him to the cross and listen as His love speaks forgiveness through His sacrifice there. And we will learn of His victory over sin, death, and the devil as He rises from the dead. And as we listen to Him, the Spirit will work in us and transform us into this glory. For He's gone to prepare a place for you. And so we'll come back to receive you that you might be where He is. As a child of God, you have that promise. But not yet. For now, we reflect His glory here for a little time more. For our friends and our neighbors and our family and our loved ones, to serve them as we've been served by Christ, to proclaim to each other the love of Christ in word and action. And that's a glorious thing, to be sure. To serve the poor and the lowly, to forgive and not take revenge, to lift up and not push down, to encourage and not to ridicule, to love as we've been loved. Maybe as you do that, some won't understand because the gospel is veiled to them. And they'll see it just as an opportunity to take advantage of you. But don't worry about that. Jesus gave His life and forgave even those who put Him on the cross. So you too, let Him worry about how the details wash out. He can handle it. For you and me, just listen to Jesus only. Jesus crucified for you, Jesus risen for you, Jesus in your neighbor. And He who came to serve you with His very life, He won't leave you now, nor ever. So let us follow Jesus to His cross this Lenten season as we enter it, seeing His glory there, repenting of our sins, of our cross avoiding and our seeking the wrong kind of glory, and let's receive His life-transforming forgiveness again and again until the veil of sin and death is removed once and for all, and we see then the unveiled face of our Savior. Not just for a little while, but forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Him, Christ our Lord. Amen.